Welcome back, friends. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. Well, 2018 is behind us, and I hope that you had lovely celebrations with your family. I hope that you had a fantastical New Year. As most of you know, I was in Connecticut with my sister. We did all of New England in a whirlwind tour. It was fantastic, and I came home and got totally sick. So I waited as long as I could to record this. I'm sorry that I sound a little bit disgusting, but it's almost Monday, so I had to go ahead and record this. So it is the new year, and I'm confident that you chose to make one very important New Year's resolution, which is to listen to every single Struggle Well Project episode in 2019. I really appreciate you guys thinking of that independently without any help from me and committing to do it perfectly this coming year. It means the world to me. So this month, we are talking about body. That includes food. It includes body image. Anything that has to do with your body, we're going to be talking about it. We've created a printable that you can work through on the topic that we're talking about. So those of you on the Struggle Well Project email list have already gotten that body printable in your inbox. If you are not on it, it is not too late. You can go to strugglewellproject.com/body and you can download that printable for free. Then at the end of January, come back and join us and we will do a Facebook Live and talk about what we learned this month. So my guest today is Polly Connor, and she is the author of From Freezer to Table, which is a freezer cookbook that is fantastic. You will find out as you listen how much I really love this cookbook. We talk about how freezer cooking has freed her up to be a lot more relational with her people. She talks about floundering as a new mom. She talks about the dinner time struggle that we all completely understand. But we also talk about how freezer cooking can be a community event, which you know I love community so much. But we also talk about different types of motherhood things and how to keep the big things big and the small things small. All right, so let's get started. Hey, Polly, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Emily?
I'm good. I'm so good. So will you tell us about you and your family?
Yes. So again, my name is Polly Connor and I live in Columbia, Missouri, and I am married to a college pastor. My husband's name is Austin and he works, for our church, The Crossing, here in Columbia, Missouri. And he's one of the college pastors there. We have three kiddos. We have Adeline, she's 7, Tyler 5, and Clayton is 2. So, I work part-time for our business, Thriving Home, and we recently published a cookbook, From Freezer to Table. And are just in the midst of juggling kind of work, summer life, you know, little kids and trying to stay afloat.
Yes, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's fun.
I have a question. How do you make sure that it stays part-time? Because that's been something I've struggled with.
Gosh, you know, I personally would love to work more, but I just can't fathom adding more work hours than I do right now. For me, I have to really schedule my work hours. And when I'm not scheduled, I don't have the capacity to work with three little ones around, to be honest. So my kids keep me balanced.
Okay, that's good.
I can't write a blog post in the midst of like three little people.
No, that's true.
Yeah, you know, as they start to get in school, I'm going to have to reevaluate what it's going to look like and if I want to stay part-time or want to, you know, put in more. But right now it really is just all my availability allows for. So.
Okay. I love it. Okay, so you were telling me about your 2-year-old. He just keeps leaving the house.
I love we just jump into that. He is our nomadic child. We call him our free range Clay. Yeah, so, you know, we have, again, 7, 5, 2-year-old. My 7, 5-year-old, like, go in and out, in and out. So he thinks he has the ability and freedom to do the same thing. And so, and he's quiet. Like, I won't even hear him go out the front door. And luckily, we live in a very family-friendly neighborhood and not a very busy street, or we'd be in real trouble. But, I mean, he made it halfway to our neighborhood park, which is a quarter of a mile away. The park's probably a half mile away. He made it halfway there without us even knowing. And we had a neighbor who was mowing his lawn, saw him out there. Had the neighbors looking for Clay. We thought he was in someone's backyard, maybe. I mean, we were like in a frantic hunt when we found him on his own, just pushing his little lawnmower to the park.
Pushing his own lawnmower.
Yeah, his own hysterical little lawnmower.
At least he's trying to help the community look better.
It's not functional. We'll say that. It's like when it blows bubbles and that's about
it. I know, but I mean, he thinks he's doing his part. Oh my gosh. My son left when he was 3 and went and visited the neighbors. And
Did he go in the house or backyard or?
No, he just went. Our alleys face each other so we have alleys and our garages face each other, you know, in the back of the house. Yeah, and so he was just hanging out in the back, you know, talking about the dog and sharing stuff with the neighbors. And
oh yeah, no, our 2-year-old has gone in the house of another neighbor before, and they're like good friends. Like our best friends live right next door to us, so he kind of knows their house and knows them. But oh yeah, well, we won't find him for a little bit. Oh, he's in here.
Oh my gosh. You know, you think you're like doing a good job of keeping these kids alive until you realize they have a whole nother life that you didn't know about.
Being your third kid, you're kind of like, is he bleeding? Is he fed? Okay, he's good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, if that was my first kid running off, I'd be like, you know, have him in counseling or something. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you running away from me? But no, he's just like doing his thing. He's like, mom's too busy taking care of everyone else. I'm just going to go do my thing.
So funny. I love it. Okay, so you mentioned the freezer cookbook, and I want you to talk about how did that start and what is it? And then I have one, and I've been using it, so I can't wait to tell you what I think about it.
Oh my gosh, I would love to hear.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. It started way a long time ago, probably when we started Thriving Home, honestly, we didn't know we were running a cookbook at the time, but we were. So, you know, I kind of told you this earlier, but I really floundered as a new mom. I just could not get my junk together, and... Mm-hmm. Dinner time was especially hard. And so I started really reaping the benefits of freezer cooking, meaning like batch cooking a bunch of meals in advance, freezing them, and then pulling them out of the freezer and cooking that night. So it's hands off. It's hardly any cleanup. So I started just dabbling in that when I was a new mom. And then my co-blogger, Rachel, and I had Thriving Home growing, right? So we were building this blog, not knowing if it was ever going to turn into anything. And we started noticing more and more traffic to our freezer meal recipes. We're like, oh, people are interested in this, right? Let's go with it. So we posted more and more freezer meal recipes because at that time, Rachel was actually in a freezer meal club, which is they met regularly, exchanged meals together. So we started getting Google interest from that. And then we started having publishers reach out to us a couple of years ago. We were like, do we want to do this author thing? I don't know. We want to do our blog, but do we want to publish a book? But long story short, we did end up coming out with it took 2 years to get there. We have our first cookbook released last September. It's called From Freezer to Table. And essentially it's a book just written for moms. Oh my gosh. It's recipes that are easy to make, recognizable ingredients. All of them teach you how to make it fresh or how to make it a freezer meal. And then we also walk people through how to throw their own freezer parties, cooking parties together, or to even start their own freezer club. So and then we were contracted for a second cookbook already, which we don't have a release date for that, but we are very much in the works of writing it. It's going to be From Freezer to Cooker. So we heard from moms, they want meals that can go in the slow cooker or Instant Pot. So the same concept, make it fresh or make it in the slow cooker or Instant Pot from fresh or frozen. So a lot going on, but that's it came out. So it's been fun. It's been a really fun ride. And you know, we always say like, our goal is not a full freezer. Our goal is to free moms and parents up relationally, to be more hands-on with their people, to be more mentally present and not stressing about what are they going to make for dinner? All the cleanup, all the mess that comes with cooking every single night. So our heart is to be in people's homes and really just equip them to make dinner time easier, to be just again, more present with their people on no matter how old they are.
New Year's resolutions are so hard to keep. The longest I can usually go is about 3 days. Did you know that 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by the end of the month? If you want to focus on your health this year, it's going to take some effort. One way, though, that I am eating fruits and vegetables every day without even trying is with Daily Harvest. You guys know I love Daily Harvest. I spend my own money on this stuff. With Daily Harvest, you get to choose more than 50 ready-to-blend smoothies. They have savory harvest bowls, soups, and breakfast bowls. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat. All of their ingredients are carefully sourced for maximum nourishment and flavor. And I do love that when you open up the cup, you can see all the ingredients. The best part, everything stays fresh in your freezer until you're ready to eat it. And in less than 5 minutes, you've got a healthy meal. Daily Harvest is the easiest, fastest, and most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables and make healthy eating a habit that sticks. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code SWP to get 3 cups for free in your first box. That's promo code SWP for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. How has it changed your family to cook this way?
Oh gosh, you know, it's become a lifestyle for me. One, it saves a lot of money because if you cook things in bulk, you're eating out less, you're buying things in bulk, which is cheaper. So it's a frugal way to live. But two, like I said, dinner time is just less stressful because like for tonight, you know, we have stuff going on kind of early evening. We might go to the pool. I have a baked penne pasta in the fridge thawing out that I'm just going to pull out and put in the oven when we get home. And so there's not going to be a mess that I have to make or clean up tonight for dinner. And I'm going to be able to like be at the pool until right at dinner time and then come home, throw it in the oven. So, it just kind of freed me up in that way. You know, we're in the stage with little kids, so we don't have a lot of the after school activity stuff, but I know Rachel is in that stage of life. And so it's great for her in the same thing of, I think most people just get food to go or fast food on the way home from a sporting event. But if you have something that you know is already prepped and ready just to warm up or cook, you're just eating healthier that way. So it's helped our family eat healthier. It's made mom and dad less stress in the evening hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gosh, when you have little people, like 5 o'clock is not our strong suit.
No.
Oh my gosh. It's like the needometer just like skyrockets. And so, again, my toddler just wants to be on my hip for that, you know, 2 hours before he goes to bed. So again, it's just like, I can do that if I'm not having to be like all my hands in like raw chicken.
Yeah. Whenever my kids want to do fun stuff in the afternoon. And so we go do it. And then as soon as we come home, they're like, what's for dinner? I was like, well, I've been with you. How on earth do you think so that I end up feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm such a failure as a mom. I haven't even made dinner. And then having stuff in the freezer or having stuff already prepped, I feel like I can actually tell them this is what's for dinner. I've been using your book and I got this little notepad that says like, what's for dinner? And I've been writing that like, having a plan, and the kids, like, it's almost like they've been starved at some point in their life because they're obsessed with food and what are we eating, and it's really kind of alarming. And so to have them just gravitate towards this list and like right. Look forward to all the things that are coming, it's helped me not feel like a failure, and they're super pumped about it. It's been the strangest small change that's made a big difference.
They're little foodies. They don't even know it.
They sure are. So some of the favorite ones that we've made, I've made the salmon burgers. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Those are amazing. Yes.
I haven't made those in a while. That makes me jealous. I need to go make some soon.
Make them, please. And the shrimp coconut curry bowls, forget about it. Those are, oh my gosh.
That's one of Rachel's family favorites. My kids won't really go for shrimp, unfortunately.
Yeah, but my kids don't go. I left the shrimp out for them, but it was more for us, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, don't eat shrimp. Shrimp is bad for kids. I don't know. I don't want to share.
Too much mercury or something, right?
Yeah, or something, whatever. Yeah. Let's see. So I think they're really good. And my husband and I are kind of our foodies. And so he's a way better cook than I am. So I don't like the meals that are so simple that they don't have any flavor.
Right.
But also I don't like the ones that you feel like you're trying to go to culinary school that are so, so hard. So this is such a great mix. It all tastes really good, but it's actually accessible. So you guys did a really good job
saying that. That is like right where we wanted to be, because I think people like love the idea of these dump and go meals, but like the reality is they're not going to have much flavor and they're going to be full of just like additives and preservatives of the, you know, prepackaged foods that you're dumping in there. Yeah. But then you don't have time to be like making your own tortillas. Like, you know, yeah. you gotta be realistic about your availability. So yeah, we tried to strike a balance of, and we have some very simple recipes in there too, but we also have some like the pot stickers are a little bit more of a challenge, but we say that we're like, hey, do this on a date night, like do this when you have a little space in your life. The rest are like made for like the normal cook and just something like your family's going to like. Like we tested every single one of those recipes on our family and they are brutal taste testers too. So they had to pass the family test before they went in the book.
I'm telling you what, every single one has been, I've totally knocked it out of the park. And my husband is a little, because I've tried like the freezers, do the freezer meal for a whole month and then they just end up not tasting that good. Right. But then you've got a whole lot of food that you don't want to eat. Right. And you were stressed out for 12 hours while you were cooking it. And so anytime I like bring up something like this, my husband's like, okay, like just pump the brakes. So this time though, I'm like, well, I have the book and she's going to be on the show. So I have to try some of them. They've all been so good that I just,
I know. It makes me sad that a lot of people are out there ruining freezer meals. It's really sad. I'm like, no, that's no good. People are going to think all freezer cooking's bad because they've tried one and it didn't work. Yeah. So
and
we
I'm
were
sure
very...
it was the recipe and not the freeze. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just right. a recipe problem.
Yep. Yep. For sure.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, way to go. Very genuinely, you guys, this book's great. I can't wait to see your next
one. Oh, good. I hope you can make more.
Yes. Okay. So the other thing I want to talk about is the community element.
Yeah.
Because in the front you have like freezer cooking with friends. What does that look mm-hmm. like? And what mm-hmm. I've been doing, because I haven't had the margin right now to organize something like that, but you make it really simple. But I've just been doubling it and freezing one and eating one.
Absolutely. So yeah.
That works. But tell me about the other... Because, I mean, community is obviously a very big deal. You all have to mm-hmm. eat. So I love this idea of bringing together neighbors because that's such a big deal to me. So talk about that.
Right. Yeah. So you're the very first steps. We always say people start with freezer cooking. Just make one meal and double it and try that out. Get in the method. Make sure you like it. The next step would be what we call a freezer cooking party. So this is a one-time cooking event to do with friends. And again, this is just kind of like testing out, do I kind of like this batch cooking thing? And the fun thing is you do it with people you like, and then it's just fun to like with your friends, do a project together rather than just like sit around and just chat. It's like, you're actually being efficient with your time and going home with it, you know, months worth of meals. And so
you can justify it.
Yeah, exactly. So the freezer cooking party is, again, probably more of a social event and an excuse maybe to get together with neighbors or people in your small group or just people you're wanting to connect with or have an excuse to connect with. Some I know people who do freezer cooking parties as like a baby shower for someone. So
that is such a good idea. Oh, my gosh.
And you send them home with meals. So it's just kind of a unique way to get together with people, an excuse to get together. And especially, you know, as moms, it's hard to find time with friends. So if you can, like, be efficient with your time, it doesn't feel like as much of a cost.
Yeah.
And we walk through in the book exactly how to do that, down to even, like, the emails you send people because to explain what it is. And we even wrote out party plans of the recipes you should use because not all recipes should be made in a freezer cooking party, but some of them take a lot of prep, like, on the stove, and you don't want to do that six times with friends. Like, these are more of, like, easy to assemble, easy to take and go and to make in bulk.
Yeah, I was so impressed with how the party is basically all planned out for you in the front of this book. You guys did everything.
We try to take the guesswork out of it because we've done it a lot. And so we just want people to avoid the mistakes that we've made and learn from the things that we've learned over years and years of freezer cooking. So good. I'm glad that you should do it. It's fun.
Yes.
And then if you get hooked on the whole freezer meal thing, like the whole like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. I love having something already made in the freezer. You can start an ongoing freezer club, which I'm currently part of with some of my friends. Rachel was when she was in the little kid years. And so this is basically an ongoing group of people. So we meet about every 4 to 6 weeks, I'd say. And in between that, we decide which recipe we're going to make. And we make it in time six in your own home on your own time. And then we decide a time to get together and swap. And of course, that time, like when we get together, we sit down and chat and have a glass of wine or some snacks or we for sure like use that time to kind of catch up with each other. But it's not cooking together. It's more of we chit chat, hang out for an hour or so and like, okay, let's swap. And so we all pull our coolers up to each other and do the whole swap and then go home with your meals. So
I love that because in the space of the 6 weeks, you could make the meal whenever.
Exactly. It's a little bit easier, I think, just because, yeah, you do it on your own time, in your own space with your own kitchen tools. And so if you're really serious about freezer cooking, that's the way to do it. And, you know, we recommend about 6 people in a freezer club. But it for sure can be less than that. Like if you only have 4 people that want to do it, start with that. You know, it's not you don't have to have this ideal number of 6 to do it. We've just found more than that. It's a bit much to make that many meals. And then less than that, you just don't come home with as much as you would want. Mm-hmm. So we found 6 to be a sweet spot, but it's totally up to what you want to do. Another beauty of these is that if you have like a food allergy or something, you can kind of link arms with other people in your realm. So if you have a family that needs to be gluten-free, like find other gluten-free people and say, hey, let's make a bunch of gluten-free freezer meals. So we have a stash of those. So you can, you know, you have to find people that are like-minded as far as like your values with of food and even kind of size of family, or else it didn't quite make sense. So we've kind of, you know, my group, pretty much everyone has like kind of preschool age-ish kids, two or three kids. So we, I mean, portions are all about the same when we make it. So you do have to be pretty careful about who's in your club, because if you get one person that can't have like dairy or gluten, like that's really tricky.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, I love it.
So I want to tell you about a new sponsor to the show, Noom. Most people who lose weight gain it all back, but that is because most weight loss plans tell you what to do while you're on the plan, but not afterward. I've been using Noom. It's actually a really funny, lighthearted approach to something that most of us don't think is funny at all, trying to lose weight. Noom doesn't say that you can't have certain foods, but it teaches you about moderation. And when you do go a little overboard, there's no shaming, but just tips to get you back on track for tomorrow. What I like about it is it's on your phone whenever you need it, and it just takes about 10 minutes a day to complete all the tasks related to helping you think more healthfully about your weight loss. Noom provides you with a support team. You have a goal specialist, you have a nutrition expert, and a fitness trainer all in one. Noom is designed for results. Meet your resolutions by signing up for your trial today at noom.com/SWP. Visit noom.com/SWP to start your trial today. Again, that's noom.com/SWP. I want to say a special thank you to one of today's podcast sponsors, Care Of. With Care Of, you can build a vitamin routine that is made just for you and your health goals. There's a fun online quiz. I know quizzes are not always fun, but theirs is fun. It asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. It takes about 5 minutes to find out your scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. Then Care Of delivers those vitamin and supplement packs customized to your recommendations right to your door. What I love about this company is that every vitamin purchase that you make with Care Of, they give a portion of the sale to a foundation that provides expectant mothers with prenatal vitamins. It is so, so important to get prenatal vitamins. So for 25% off of your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter promo code SWP. So again, for 25% off of your first month, go to takecareof.com and enter promo code SWP.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about like in parenting or whatever, you talked about something that you're learning is embracing your kids and your family for who they are, not who you right. kind of maybe thought they mm-hmm. would be or could be. I think that's really common and hard because without realizing it, we assume things are going to go a certain way. And it's not right. like we think they have to and we're going to force it, but we don't realize we have assumptions and expectations. So talk about that. And what have you learned? And how would you encourage a woman who's going through that?
Right. Yeah, I think I learned from day one, I realized like this parenting gig is a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, I think I really am realizing, I don't know why it's taken me 7 years, but my kids are just like spirited, strong-willed kids, you know, mm-hmm. and more so than maybe most kids. mm-hmm. And I think I really resisted that for a while because, you know, I'm thinking about, I'm going to go with like my daughter. She was just a really, really dramatic, and she still is. Like, it's just kind of who she is. Like, we, you know, as a baby, she had acid reflux, but I'm guessing now knowing her temperament, that was heightened by her flair for drama. Mm-hmm. And and I just would get, you know, I think I'd look at the kids we'd have play dates with and mine would have to be in timeout half the time, you know, for messing with kids or hitting or taking toys or throwing a fit. And all these other kids, I'm like, why do yours just sit and play with cups? Mine won't just sit and play with cups. Mine are like fighting with each other and
yeah,
crying about something. And so,
and you can laugh about it now, but it's like embarrassing and you feel like you must be doing something wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. I for sure took it personally for a long time. I think that was the biggest thing. I just remember being in the library and her having a screaming fit. And I felt like every single person was hearing it. I was like, what am I doing wrong? You know? And so I think a lot of it was a shame on me, a thing, oh, I need to clamp down harder, or, you know, I've done this, this, and this. And so, you know, I think for sure parenting has a part in how your kids shape up and turn out and respond. But there's a, I think, more weight and their God-given temperament than we give them and we think. And so, you know, then so when number two came along and he was just like, when he hit 2 years old, he just went crazy. Like he just lost his marbles. And then right around three is when we had our third kid, he especially lost his marbles then. And I mean, to the point where like preschool was contacting us and, you know, they were having concerns about his behavior. And so he, you know, we ended up taking him in. He actually was diagnosed with ADHD as, you know, pretty young kid, but we saw that we're like, he's different than his peers. This is not just squirrely boy. Like, you know, so because I think a lot of people, oh, he's just a boy. But we're when we had a second boy, we're like, our second boy is not like this.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, and again, it's kind of like once I kind of heard that, I was like, oh, like, okay, I can embrace this a little more rather than fight it. I'm like, no, you know, I think we'd really, really fight the like, please do not get up from your chair, you know? And so now we kind of realize like, oh, he has like an impulse thing that he can't, like his body is telling him to move, you know? And so embracing, okay, we've got to find ways that he can move and give him freedom to sit upside down while we read a book to him or to, or we even have a squeeze pillow for him because he just loves to squeeze things. Like it's kind of a sensory thing he has. And so just embracing that rather than fighting it, I think I just wanted him to be normal and just to be like his friends and like, why can all your preschool friends make it through the Christmas recital and you're the one in the back pulling down the flag, you know?
Yes.
So it's just, I think, again, having a diagnosis specifically for him kind of helped us really embrace who he is. And I think that was the beginning of, with all of our kids of, you know, comparison is such the thief of joy. And so if I'm looking at these other little girls who just play nicely all the time and mine who, you know, could be a little dramatic about things rather than wishing she was a play nice girl, I'm like, no, she's a fierce lady. How can we shepherd this and help her really step into God has made her and, but also like, help her know how to handle the big feelings, you know, like let's embrace the big feelings rather than try to squash them. And let's like try to channel those in the right direction and give her something to do with those rather than say, don't have them. So it's been a big change for us of just kind of like, okay, this is who our people are. And this is who our family is, a spicy family. Mm. And we are, you know what I mean? We are not missed when we go places and
you make grand entrances.
Oh, and exits. Oh, my goodness. the exits that we make the impact on. but again, it's like also like swallowing my pride a little bit and being like, you know what? I don't care what the old lady thinks of our family that's, you know, leaving with a bang. Like it's I've just been publicly embarrassed too many times to care at this point.
Yeah, that's so good for new moms to hear because I feel like you're going to die from embarrassment.
But then like you kind of get it like beaten out of you, you know? So I love this analogy. I think it's from Rachel Jankovic. I think she wrote this book called Loving the Little Years. Sorry if I butchered the last name. Okay. And she basically called it like motherhood is like the rock tumbler. Okay. So you enter in motherhood with kind of all these rough edges. Right. And then you just get like tumbled and tumbled and tumbled through this rock tumbler and they start eventually getting kind of smoothed out. Yeah. And so all these rough edges are getting, you didn't even know were there, but are totally getting like chipped away and rubbed down. So you're just like rolling a little bit more smoothly with the bumps and with the hardships and with the challenges. You're just kind of like, all right, just kind of roll right through it. Here we go. You know, so that's, I really do feel like that's been part of the process for me and just an image that resonates with me and motherhood really is like, I think I went in with a lot more rough edges than I knew and they're still getting smoothed out. I can only imagine, you know, what's ahead, you know, as we enter in elementary and teen years, but yeah, it's been, as anybody, very sanctifying and very, very just heart changing, you know? So,
yeah. I think what I'm realizing, and I've been doing this for 10 years, so I'm done it a little bit longer than you, but I feel like I'm still learning the same lesson. Like, how could this be literally taking so long for me to get? Like, I'm a thinking, relatively intelligent human being. But I just was determined, like, I will rock tumble you, child. I will not be, like, I'm not having my rough, I didn't see that I had rough edges, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty great.
Right, you're the one with the issues, kid. Yeah.
Yeah, and so just realizing that allowing myself to be rock tumbled, you know, there's just humility that I just think I needed a little extra help realizing that I needed humility.
None of us have a lot of time. All of us would like to read more. Or I think most of us would like to read more, or at least be able to say that we read more, to be impressive at parties. But now there is a way to actually read more in less time. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways and the need-to-know information from thousands of fiction and nonfiction books, condenses them down to about 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 80 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library. I like Blinkist because it helps me know if I want to read the whole book. Sometimes a book sounds great, and then if you get a little bit into it, you're like, oh, well, no, maybe that's not for me. I like to use Blinkist when I am driving in the car on a short trip. Not enough time to get into a whole podcast, but enough time to kind of sort of read a whole book. Lately, I've enjoyed 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, No Drama Discipline, and The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for all of you. Go to Blinkist.com/SWP and start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/SWP to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/SWP.
How has it helped your relationship, like, especially with your kids that you're talking about, how, you know, being different than you especially thought they might be? How has it helped your relationship with them to kind of accept them for who they are?
You know, I wouldn't say less conflict, because there's still, you know, your job as a parent is to teach, correct, discipline, you know, so it's not like I'm excusing myself from that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to keep the big things big and the small things small. Right. So I think, like, to expect my son to sit still through a dinner at 5 years old with ADHD, like, it's just a really high expectation. But for my 7-year-old, not a high expectation. So it has adjusted my expectations. And then I think if you kind of meet them where they're at, you're not getting yourself all in a wad over little things that don't really matter. So it's caused me to, like, less anger, I guess, because I'm just, like, embracing, okay, this is going to be hard for them. Like, so, to tell my son, go clean your room, that's really hard for his brain to organize and to, like, oh, okay, I'll start with the magnet tiles, and then I will move to the books, and then I will make my bed. Like, that's easy for almost every brain to see a room and think, oh, this isn't this done. Like, this little brain can't, like, organize that.
So what do you do? How do you do that?
I have to help him do one step at a time. So now, yeah, this is a great example. So I used to go say, you need to go tidy up your room, and he would flip out. I'm like, why is this a big deal? So we have a timeout for flipping out, and then we can't stay in timeout. So it just snowballs, you know? And, so now, like, when I, you know, you still have to, like, teach him, you have to take care of your stuff, and we're still going to clean our room. So it takes more work. That's the hard thing too, is I've embraced, this is going to be more work, but I go up, I say, okay, first task, you have 5 minutes to clean up magnet tiles. And I set even a visual timer up sometimes on my phone, and then you have 5 minutes and it ticks. So he needs kind of that constant, like, you know, like, visual, audible reminder of what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, okay, you have 5 minutes to magnet tiles, and then even check in, like, okay, how are you doing? Okay. Like, 3 minutes left. And so we found that breaking down the task for him makes it doable. So, okay, magnet tiles are done. Awesome. Good job. High five. And now let's go look at these books all over the floor. And your next job is to get these books stacked up before I come back in the room. So it is work. Like, that's what's a hard, I like ease. I don't want to have to be hands-on when I say go clean your room, but also knowing, okay, his little brain can't quite get there yet. So, just again, it's all about the expectations. So that's a really tangible example of, like, one way we've changed, and that we don't end up having discipline issues over cleaning the room. It's like, break it down for him.
That's really good. Cause I may or may not have the exact same situation happening in my house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is the problem?
Yes. The counting. How old are your kids again? I don't think I asked that.
10 and 6.
10 and 6. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure the 6-year-old still has, you know, a little bit. And part of that's developmental too. Like, kids just don't have those, you know, like, organizational skills in their brain quite yet.
Well, let me tell you, my 6-year-old is neat as a pin. I don't even know if that's a idiom, but it's my 10-year-old who is like the Tasmanian devil has gone through her room. I'm like, hold it. This was just clean. Was there a bomb? And it didn't blow off the roof, because something clearly happened in here. Oh, man.
Funny.
So funny. Okay, so I wanted to move into the section where we have a lightning round, and I ask you some questions, and you have to answer them really quickly, and you don't know what the questions are, and it's just for fun.
Oh my gosh, these make me so nervous.
You're gonna
I
be
feel like
right.
my brain like stops working like when I get on these things. Okay.
Well, there's no math or anything, which was that's where my brain stops working. So
okay.
Yeah. So what movie was so sad that you'll never watch it again?
Oh my gosh, My Girl.
Oh, I don't. Was that an
Do
older
you
one?
Know what that is anymore? I don't know why that came to mind. I think I watched it too young an age. It was like I still remember just being hysterical over it.
I watched Beaches. That was so sad. And then Fried Green Tomatoes, I watched when I was like in my early teens, and I cried so hard.
Oh yeah, no good.
No good can come of watching those movies. So My Girl, does she die or something?
I don't know why. Like again, it came to mind. I don't. That's like in the depths of my memory, but I remember being like really sad over My Girl, or really any kind of any movie with like animals dying. Just stop now. Like I can't even like go there. So yeah, any movie with like an animal dying in the end or something. Like can't do it.
So no Old Yeller for you.
No, I haven't even not even tried that one.
Okay. What habit do you have that always annoys other people?
I don't know if it's necessarily annoying, but people notice it. I'm kind of chronically early.
Okay.
As I know, that's a good thing to have, but you know how like sometimes like if the babysitter shows up too early, you're like, dude, it wasn't ready for you. Like, you know,
go sit in your car.
Right. Like I'm not ready to entertain you yet. I think I'm kind of that person. Like I'm like to the party a little early or, you know, like just, show up to the meeting a little bit early where you're not quite ready. I always feel like I'm always like paranoid about being late. And so probably that is my guess.
Yeah, that's good.
My friends might say something different.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you didn't even talk about how you
don't even know, girl.
That's funny. Okay. If you dropped everything and you went on a road trip today, where would you go?
Ooh, I have been itching to get to the Northeast. I haven't been there since like high school. So I'm kind of like a little history nerd. Okay. Not like I don't know facts, but I love the story like of our country. And I love to visit like the actual sites. The like Revolutionary War happened or where like big decisions were made or to go to DC and kind of visit all those monuments. And I don't know. So I think I've been itching to like kind of experience the history of our country a little bit. And by going to like more historic part of it because Mid-Missouri is not super historic unless you're like wanting to know about like where the Oregon Trail started or something.
Yeah. Yes. And you're like, I know about it. I want to do other things.
So yeah, probably Northeast. And then I would love to see some like Broadway shows right now. Like I love musicals. And so, I've told my husband, I would love to, he's not really into it, but like, I would love sometime in our life when we have lots of money and more time, which will probably be never, to go and just do like a Broadway trip, like just go up and just see, you know, shows.
Fine. Yeah. My husband is very anti-musicals. He won't even watch The Greatest Showman.
What? Oh, see, my husband humors me. He like will do one a year. He will allow. Okay. So, Greatest Showman's so good.
I know it, but he'll never know how great it is, and that's fine. Okay, so what is the most stress relieving thing that you can do for under $20?
Oh, let's see, stress relief. I like to just go for walks. That's so lame. Without any like music, no headphones, like nothing, just the silence of my own brain and thoughts is like how I unwind. So I, you know, honestly, like when my husband, like when our kids were really little and like wasn't sleeping and he'd get home from work, I'm like, take a baby. I'm going for a walk. Like it's all I needed. It's like a 20-minute alone time walk. So I'm like right in the middle between introvert, extrovert. Like I love a good party, but like I for sure recharge a little bit more just by like having my own space and like being able like just to think. So I'd say it's a free thing too. So I just love a good walk by myself, especially in this stage of life where I constantly have people, little voices all around me. It's like, I don't even want to listen to music. I don't want to listen to a podcast. Like I need silence. So, that's probably that. I'd say number two, if I'm having a stressful day and kids and it's not an option to not have kids, I just treat myself to Starbucks. I get a real fancy drink. I'm like, we're doing it. Kids get in the car.
There you go. What's your favorite, Starbucks drink?
I usually go for just the iced coffee with classic sweetener with cream. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty lame, but it's actually pretty cheap. So you can do it more often than not. So yeah, iced coffee, creamer, and the classic sweetener is just, it's just a good, and it's summer right now too. So that's what sounds really good. In the winter, I'm just a mocha girl. I love mimosas. I've tried to branch out into like, you know, trying different like variations, and I just like a good mocha. So
there you go. I love it.
Thanks.
All right. So what is something that you can't stop talking about right now?
Okay. I have a couple things. I just read the book Shoe Dog. And it's a memoir about the founder of Nike. And it was so good. Like, it's just, it was, again, I'm kind of like an entrepreneur. And so I loved that side of it. Like seeing how this huge business started up, but also it was very like much a person story too, of like kind of his life and a memoir pretty much of like his childhood, his relationship with his parents, his working relationships, his fears, his doubts, his struggles, his strengths. Like just, it was a very personable memoir, but also the story of like a business that almost didn't make it so many times. Like there were so many times Nike almost didn't make it, which is crazy to me. So,
that's
so
great.
I feel like recently I've just been telling people, you need to read this, you need to read this. And then, yeah, on that line, I've just been, I kind of go hot and cold with reading. So I've been just reading a ton lately. So mainly when I say reading, I actually mean listening, because most of the time I'm like doing an audiobook. And so, just been listening to a lot of audiobooks. Like right now I'm, listening to, I think it's Hellbound on His Trail. I think that's what it's called. It's about the assassination of Martin Luther King and the manhunt for his, assassin.
Oh, wow.
And just kind of, but it kind of ties into all of the like politics that were happening in, 60s, 70s of, you know, just kind of like the tensions and, just all that was playing into this manhunt. It was really, it's really interesting. So,
okay.
Books is what I can't stop talking about.
Yeah. Well, and you said, the way that you read them, it's not Audible. It's through what app?
So yeah, I've been listening to him through this app called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y. And so it's just a, it's just more user-friendly, that to be, you can get them free through your library through that app. So it connects to your library, but I found that the library audio isn't super user-friendly to me. So it's just an app.
Yeah, mine isn't either. So I love that idea. I'm checking that out for sure.
Try it out.
Yay. Well, Polly, thank you so much for sharing all this really good practical information.
Well, I hope so. And that's what I love. I like practical advice.
So you don't know when your new book's coming out yet?
Well, so the reason we don't know is it's kind of exciting. Our publisher got acquired by Penguin Random House, which is great for us because it's the biggest publisher in the U.S. Okay. But with the acquisition, the deadlines kind of got shaken up a little bit. And so we're just trying to figure out with... We have a deadline set when we turn the book in, but they want a little bit more time before it releases. And we really want it to release in the fall. So right now they're trying to figure out, can we get this out in fall 2019, which would be our, would be ideal for us. But if they can't do it by then, we're going to wait a year because they're like, well, what about a spring release date? And we're like, we can't release a slow cooker or cookbook in the spring. Like no one's into that. So we'd have to wait a whole year, just for our preference to get it out in the fall season. So,
and you said you have taste test opportunities.
Oh yes. Yeah. So that's a fun thing I've gone on to. We have a recipe testing team. So if you're into cooking and kind of tinkering with, you know, not tinkering, but just trying out recipes that would potentially go in the book and giving us feedback, we have a whole team of people. It's about 400 people that email the recipe to. We have a Google evaluation that you fill out on it. And we have a Facebook group. And the Facebook group has been the surprising, like, really fun part of it, like to interact with everyone who's trying these recipes and people are taking pictures and they're like, this is totally good. This, my kids wouldn't eat it. You know, just we're getting like really honest feedback and they've been so helpful. So we are about once a week, send a recipe out to our recipe testing team to try out and just give feedback. And we make tweaks based on feedback. And so we continue to add to that because we're just continually sending out recipes to test. So
that's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you like cooking, you should join it.
Okay. I'll put the link to that in the show notes.
For sure. Great. Well, thanks so much.
You are so welcome. Have a good rest of your day.
So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe you know the dinner time struggle all too well, and you love the idea of just pulling something that you made out of the freezer to whip up in a hurry. Polly and Rachel's book is called From Freezer to Table, and you can get it anywhere books are sold. Or maybe what appealed to you is the idea of having an excuse to get together with your girlfriends. They have laid out beautifully everything you need to know to have a freezer party, so I would check that out. Maybe you struggle well this week by having the perspective shift that your kid, who's always the kid that's in trouble, the temperament of that kid was given to them by God. So maybe you spend some time just asking God to help you see it the way he sees it, help you mold and shape that soul that he put in your care. I loved what Polly said about how motherhood is a rock tumbler. It sure is. And sometimes we just feel really embarrassed when our kids don't act right, and he wants to tumble off some of that pride. Maybe when our kids act terribly, we take it personal, and he wants to tumble off some of that extra sensitivity. It's not always about us. So this month, as we think about body, I would love for you to consider ways that you can move towards just a little more health in the things that you put in your body. It does not need to be 100% perfect all the time, organic, made from scratch, all that. But something like freezer meals, I really think is a great way to push the needle slightly in the whole foods healthy for you direction. Because when we take care of our bodies, we're able to take care of other people better. There is no shame. Do not let yourself be caught up in shame. Do the best you can. It is good enough, but you are worth eating good food, and you matter, and how you take care of yourself matters. All right, ladies, will you do me a favor? Will you share this episode with a friend who you think needs to hear it? If you love the show, I'm pretty sure they will too. Your recommendations really do make a huge difference. And when you shop on Amazon this week, please first go to amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. This uses the show's affiliate link. It's a simple way to support the show, and it costs you nothing. Thank you to all of you who use it already. It makes a difference. Also, don't forget to join me this week on your favorite social media channel at Struggle Well Project. Together, we will continue the practice of loving our actual lives. Remember, ladies, perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. You can stop striving because you're already enough. Let me pray for us. Lord, the sheer amount of choices we have and decisions we need to make every day regarding food is enough to make us crazy. It's enough to make us just head to the Oreos in the pantry and forget about everything for a while. Lord, would you help us to do things that honor you and honor our bodies? And God, would you help us to realize you are not so unfun that the answer will always be kale and never be ice cream? Lord, we just have such a misunderstanding of who you are. As we work through this printable on body, would you help us to see where our thinking is off about who you are and what you think about us? Because that changes everything. In Jesus' name, amen.